So, I think this is working. Can someone see that better than me? Nobody in this room. Nobody in this room can see it. Okay. Well, this talk is called The Magic of Winter Solstice, and this is a very special winter solstice. They're all really special, but this is like an off-the-charts, oh my god, whoa. And my intention with this talk is to share with you why that is and how you can participate with it and create more magic in your life and be aware of the magic that's happening all the time and participate with that. And I think I'd like to really start with a meditation. We're going to open with a meditation, and we're going to close with a meditation and a healing ceremony. And I want you to just take a moment to bring yourself fully in the present moment, breathing into your belly a few times. And if there are any sounds that you need to release to bring yourself here, feel free. Now, enter yourself into the earth. Feel the bottoms of your feet connecting to the center of the earth. And just scan your body. How are you doing? How are you feeling? Take notice. And above your head, see a beautiful, radiant, golden sun. Breathe that golden sun into your heart. And on the exhale, breathe it out from your heart all through your body so that you've got this warm, liquid light circulating around your body. Inhale again, this beautiful, warm, golden, sparkly, shiny, liquid light entering from the top of your head, oozing down your head and down your shoulders and into your heart. And in your heart space, see a beautiful rose. And when this light hits that rose, the rose opens. And then when you exhale, you're exhaling this light and this rose energy all through your body. One more time, inhaling this light into the top of your head, into your heart, allowing the rose to open, and exhale all through your body, sparkly, shiny, diamond bright light, and the energy of the rose, the fragrance of the rose. See if you can smell that fragrance of the rose. Presence of your divine feminine. And just let that light flow around you for about 3 feet. So they're all just sitting in a little cocoon of your own starlight, your connection to the divine. When we take our first breath, we breathe this into our heart, and this light resides in our heart throughout our life. But we can expand this light, become more conscious with it, and to participate with it more fully. Now just scan your body, see how you feel now, and how that may be different or may not be different from when you first began. I would suggest you do this a couple of times a day. It doesn't take very long, and it really helps anchor in your higher self into every cell of your body, which is what this time is about. This is what I always talk about in one way or another. But this is the time that we're living in. And there are different astrological cycles that play different roles. And so, of course, winter solstice is a time when the Earth is tipped, the north pole of the Earth is tipped the furthest from the sun. And the south pole is tipped the closest. So, of course, it's summer solstice in the southern hemisphere and winter solstice for us. But when the sun, when the Earth is tipped this way, because the Earth is on a wobble, it stays in one place for about 3 days, but the sun rises at the same place on the horizon line for 3 days. And I'm going to review a little bit for you. We're at the turning of an age. We're at a huge shift in consciousness. And one of the cross texts for how we know this, there are several, but one is that at winter solstice, the sun is lined up with galactic center. And what's so awesome about this winter solstice, as you're going to hear, is lots of planets are crossing galactic center the week before and the week after and at solstice. It's like a whole galactic center party. So you might be like, well, what is galactic center? First of all, I would Google photographs of galactic center because it's so incredibly mind-blowing to actually look at what this looks like. It's the scientists call it the black hole. The Greeks call it the golden gate. The Mayans were really interested in this part of the sky. Whenever there were planets there, they knew that whatever happened during this timing and participating with this was of extreme importance. Why? Because this part of the sky, the black hole, there are suns and stars that are burst through here. And there are also suns and stars that are absorbed into this. This is the place in mythology that when we're sourced into this world, we come through, and when we die, we go back out. This is also a place that they say the creator gods live, and the creator gods bring into creation the manifest universes and worlds. So when there's a planet there, there's a massive amount of creative energy being transmitted through that planet. So to have the sun sitting at a still point at winter solstice at this place is huge. Light codes are being transmitted through the sun to us. So what I would suggest that you do is that you spend some time watching, if possible, the sunrise over the next really few weeks, because even though it's exact the day before, during and after winter solstice, you know, the sun is in range for about a week before and a week after, maybe even more. Because galactic center is from about 25 degrees Sagittarius to 4 degrees Capricorn. And 0 degrees Capricorn is right in that zone. And I believe that today the sun is very close to 25 degrees, or it is exact. So, an interesting myth that I like is the myth of Sophia, who is the pulse and the heartbeat and the soul of this world. And the myth is that she was a creator god, and she fell in love with the star that was her creation, and the earth was a star. So she sent her consciousness out through galactic center in a river of light and love, and landed in the center of our planet as a green glowing consciousness light. And she is the beloved Earth. And she likes diversity, and she likes unique, eccentric experiences. And so she likes to be called by different names. I just text this and I'm hoping it's still going. So actually there's a man named John Lash, and he wrote a book called Not in His Image. And he said that he's been calling her Vajravalasi, and he's been just whispering it to her like to a lover, Vajravalasi, 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 like this love poem to her. And then stopping, and then feeling a response. Mm. And the response could be a wind or a stirring in your heart or a crow or, but this is something that I'm asking you to do, and you don't have to use the word Vajravalasi. You can use whatever word comes to you to speak to the soul of the earth. You can call her Gaia, Sophia, Vajravalasi, or whatever comes through, because she likes that. But what she really likes is for us to acknowledge her and to be beloved with her as she is with us. Although, you know, I'm sure we're pretty annoying at the moment. She will be fine. We may not be fine. She will restore herself. She is a creator god. We are not quite yet creator gods, although we are working on it. So there's that in terms of a myth about galactic center. And I've just been studying that galactic center. There are people that have galactic center. If you have 25 degrees Sagittarius to 4 degrees Capricorn, planets or angles or nodes in your chart, galactic center, you have an energy that you're bringing through from galactic center, which is you're creating something incredibly unique, incredibly visionary. And Joseph Campbell had his nodes at galactic center. And Sri Aurobindo has his moon at galactic center. So these people who are totally visionary and totally, of course, they don't all have to be that large in our expression, but it's sort of like being a light seed that's planted here with the express, with that seeded from the creator to create something totally new. And we are all experiencing that because we're alive during this time. The sun can only be here at the solstice point every 26,000 years, folks.
Whoa.
It's not, it happens every day. But it does happen for about, it goes for about 70 years. And the midpoint was 1998. And I think we got really exactly in range of it in 1987. When we had the harmonic convergence. Mm-hmm. And in my research for this talk, I also discovered that Saturn was at galactic center at that time as well, which is happening now, and I'll tell you more about what that means, which is massive. And 1987 to 1990 were really big years. A couple of things that happened was the birth of the Internet. The Internet was birthed during that time. If you think about really creative, visionary, new ideas that changes everything, the seed was planted at that time. Nelson Mandela was freed from prison during that time. The Soviet Union unraveled during that time, and the Berlin Wall came down during that time. A lot of big things happened, particularly when Capricorn is at galactic center, which is going to happen on December 19th in just a few days. And we'll be exactly there at winter solstice. So we're going to have the sun. I'm moving this chart around to reflect. Right now the sun is in Sagittarius, and so is Saturn, because today is December 15th or something.
But what I'm going to do
is move it around so that we're at solstice, because today we're going to talk about solstice. So the sun moves into 0 degrees Capricorn, and Saturn is at 0 degrees Capricorn. And then what happens, just so you know, is that a few days later, Venus, on December 26th, moves into Capricorn. And then, meanwhile, Mercury, which is went in retrograde December 3rd, and moves out of retrograde December 22nd, 23rd, depending where you are, is crossing over galactic center, back and forth, during the retrograde, and then finally in January is in Capricorn, and then moves on, and then Mars. Oh, and the moon is going to be in Capricorn early next week. And then Mars, in March, moves and crosses this point. Seven planets between now and March are crossing, well, Pluto's already crossed galactic center, but are going over this point. So I'm an acupuncturist, so I think in terms of acupuncture, acupressure, it's like this point keeps getting activated and activated and activated and activated. It's really already super potent, activated, because of the solstice. The solstice is giving birth to the divine light that's pouring through galactic center. And we are catching it, light catchers, and we're seeding it. And we already have a part of us that is divine. This part of us is seeking deeper and deeper and deeper embodiment, is seeking to partner with us in the world of form more and more and more and more, down to the tips of our toes, and down to our fingertips, in every cell of our body. And all of this energy that's moving into an earth is helping us, if we can consciously participate with this, to sort of sing down our souls. to bring parts of ourselves in bodies that aren't always so deeply connected. But we're shifting into a dangerous time. Well, we're not shifting, we're in a dangerous time. And we need to be the new humans that are really embodied with our light codes, activated, turned on, so that we know how to behave. Because our ego personalities are not really getting the job done. And so this is an amazing opportunity to support this process, because what's happening astrologically is simply what energies are available for us to work with. So being in conscious, knowing what's happening and then participating with this in a conscious way is really helpful. Things are happening anyway, but we can, the part about embodying our divinity is something we have to actually participate in. It doesn't, you know, normally just get plopped down on you. You got to make space, you got to make room, you got to release what needs to be released to make more room. And but I can tell you that on my acupuncture table, what's happening with a lot of people, I am now beginning a lot of my treatments with the meditation that we began. And then I put the needles in, and my intention is to really do some work with soul remembering and bringing the soul back into the body. And people are experiencing some really profound things, because it's a time that this energy is bridging into our world in a very embodied, practical way with all of Capricorn. We'll get into that, what Capricorn means, what Saturn means in a moment. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Mercury retrograde. So when Mercury goes retrograde, it's really not moving backwards. It's just that compared to our planet, it's like you have two cars driving it together, and then one speeds up, it appears that the one is going behind it, but that's not the case. And what happens is that we're going inward in Mercury retrograde, and we're renewing and reviewing and repairing and regenerating and kind of going deep inside with our mental processes. And so the energy available in the external world is not the same. And so we get more computer glitches, we get more miscommunications. Like this afternoon, you know, we had an astro play, and it was like, I was, you know, all these different times, and we couldn't get on it. That's like a hilarious, just fun thing that happens in my real estate that you have to laugh off. It's really a little harder if you have a lot of computer work you have to do, and your computer doesn't work the way you want. But that doesn't always happen. We want to utilize Mercury retrograde in the way it was intended to go inside and check out our inner web, and also check out our communication and how can we improve it and things like that. So for the past 2.5 years, the planet Saturn has been in Sagittarius. And so a lot of people have been studying and traveling and learning new things and being on, you know, spiritual, you know, accelerating our spiritual path, our spiritual awakening, and, you know, really expanding. And on December 19th, 2017, Saturn moves into Capricorn, where it'll be till 2020. And Saturn is a planet that is very much resonant with Capricorn. In fact, I'm going to invoke the card that we have here. We're going to invite in the energy of Saturn. We invite the mysteries of Saturn, middle world initiator and wise teacher, an administrator of the world of form who helps us to create the structures that support life in the middle world. Saturn teaches us through the creative encounter with boundaries, limitations. Saturn is the circle of grandmothers and the wise elders that teach us how to take care of our planet so that the next 7 generations can thrive. Now I'm going to invite Capricorn, and you'll notice that they have a similarity. We acknowledge, honor, and invite the ancient, present, and future keepers of the mysteries of the North, the place of Capricorn, of right livelihood, the element of earth, the season of winter solstice, when the nights are longest and the seeds are planted for the future. I am a teacher and counselor. I represent the circle of grandmothers and wise elders. I know what works and gets results. I build the structures that serve the next 7 generations because I care about our future and preserving our planet and resources. I earn respect because I'm willing to do the work, take responsibility, and get the job done. I am an effective administrator of my domain. So Capricorn and Saturn are very resonant with one another. Saturn likes being in Capricorn. They just have a really nice energy. And both Saturn and Capricorn have been somewhat defiled in the past couple hundred years, probably couple thousand years, because a lot of astrologers were actually really, you know, I don't like the word patriarchy, but I'm just going to use it because I can't think of a better one at the moment. A lot of astrologers that were writing about astrology were coming from already a time that things had shifted away from unity, away from deep connection, away from earth-based religions, and towards more of a hierarchical structure where certain archetypes were considered good and certain archetypes were not so good. And archetypes are not so good, by the way, with most feminine archetypes. Oh, how is that not surprising? So Capricorn is very feminine energy, but it got sort of hijacked to be like the corrupt businessman, the bankers. So as the structure of our world changed, it got projected onto Capricorn and to Saturn. And a lot of people are like, Saturn, yeah, oh no, I've got Saturn in my chart, it's so awful. Because, unfortunately, some astrologers will tell you that. People who have strong Saturn placed in their chart, I have it, tend to be very hardworking, very disciplined. They are interested in bringing spirit into this world and to take responsibility and get the job done and do the work. If we don't have earth and structure, we can be the most amazing artist there ever was. But if we're not going to get out a paintbrush, nothing's going to get painted. So Saturn is the paintbrush. And so what's really interesting is that we've had 2.5 years of a lot of people doing a lot of really deep spiritual work. And now Saturn shifts into Capricorn. It's like, okay, let's go. What did you learn and what can we do with this? What practical structures can we create from what you've learned? It doesn't mean the learning stops. It means the energy is shifting towards practical, grounded, stepping into elderhood, stepping into your place, asking how can I take more responsibility for creating the world that I want to see, whether it is in my own life or the collective. How can I look at what is my life like, how does it match my inner life, and how can I make them work better? It's a very, like, Saturn, they say Saturn writes the reality checks. You know, Saturn teaches us through cause and effect. What Saturn says, well, what seeds have you been planting? Have you been planting seeds of kindness and compassion and love? Or have you been planting seeds of discord? And then you get the benefit of the seeds you've been planting. So, if you know, so Saturn might kick you in the ass and say, this is not working, you. Or Saturn might go, well, you know, you're going to the next level here. You're going to the next octave. You're going to get the raise. You're going to get that grant you've been, you know, trying to write. You're going to finally get that done, or you're going to build that foundation. This is all about building solid foundations. But here's the thing about galactic center and how it all fits in. Saturn's going to be a galactic center at winter solstice. It's only going to be there for a little while. So Saturn is the structure of the world. And so this really, really divine creative energy is coming through in a way that is more structured, to create structure with it. Now, this does happen every 30 years that Saturn will be in Capricorn. And as I said, 30 years ago, it was 1987. It was really there 1988. To 2000. So I kind of want you, as you are thinking about this, what was that like for you? We'll have time at the end to... Were you even alive? Some of you weren't. I was in acupuncture school. Those were the seeds that I was planting. And I was studying with a Native American teacher and who taught something called the Peacekeeper Mission. And it was a really expansive time in my life of grounding my whole life and what was to be. And so for those of you, I want you thinking about this, you can wonder what was I calling into my life back then? And what do I want to call into my life now? What seeds have been stirring within me that it's time to plant them in the earth at solstice and let them, and bring them to life over the next 2 years? Saturn cycles are associated with cycles of maturation. Saturn cycles happen every 7 years, and actually in the Waldorf school, I believe that Real Steiner was really looking at Saturn cycles in terms of curriculum, and that until you get your first teeth, you don't go to first grade, because teeth and bones are Saturn. Saturn is the structure of our body, so as we have these Saturn cycles, we are just laying down bone and bringing down teeth, and our structure is coming on in, and then when we're like 13, 14, you know, our hormones get turned on. Actually, now it's earlier, so we're off. But, you know, we're growing, we're maturing, we're shifting into a new consciousness. And about 21, another Saturn cycle. And then the mother of all Saturn cycles, when we are 28, 29 years old, Saturn will return to its original place. And this is so interesting because in 1989, 90, a group of souls incarnated who had Saturn in Capricorn, but there were a lot of other planets in Capricorn at that time. Uranus and Neptune were also in Capricorn. And this is a generation that's coming of age now. And what this energetic signature they brought in, this was like, say, 1988 to 1994. Kids that came in, and my son was right in the middle of all that. And some of your children as well. And Neptune, Uranus, and Saturn were in Capricorn. Neptune and Uranus are spiritual energies. They're cosmic spiritual energies. So it's another indication that these beings are bringing in a new energy to turn it into something that's going to work and be practical. A lot of these kids came into a world that didn't fit them. They're like the rainbow children. They're totally cosmic. They're totally built differently. And so they woke up into the world and said, what is this? And yet, they are seeded with energy that has a very strong desire to make the concrete changes to create the world that is needed. Or at least to lay down the seeds. Because this change that we're going through, this 26,000-year shift, isn't happening overnight. You know, we can't expect, like, okay, now it's 2020, you know, we have a new world. Or now it's 2012, we have a new world. You know, it's a much slower process than we would like. And at the same time, there are certain things that are quickening that we wish would slow down. Like climate change. And we are at a pivotal point in our evolution where we are poised to, we are creating mass extinctions by our own actions, which has never happened on this planet before. It hasn't happened from human action. And there's a really good book called Spontaneous Evolution. And I can't remember Swami Beyondananda's name, but it's Bruce Lipton and Swami Beyondananda wrote this book. And they said that species don't evolve in a straight line, that they evolve around crisis points. So having your species potentially threatened by sort of insane behavior that we have become, no other species destroys their habitat, then they have huge shifts in evolutionary. It's like they go from point A to point Z very quickly because there's a necessity, and we're at that point. And with Saturn and Capricorn, sort of the bill is due for sort of on a massive consciousness way for people to understand what is the effect of our actions on this planet. And so many people here have been grappling with this your whole lives. But a lot of people have been in denial. And so with Saturn and Capricorn writing the reality test, it just shows you where you really are. Here's what reality really is. Here's what really needs to change, and here's how you do it. So we're going to see more and more and more and more, particularly as we head toward 2020, when Saturn catches up to Pluto and then Jupiter, and we have this rare triple conjunction in Capricorn. And the last time it happened was in the 1500s. And what's really interesting about that is that North America was colonized during this time, and it was the seed point that really took us exponentially into a time of a really profound forgetting of our connection to nature and remembering that everything is alive, everything is ensouled, and we exterminated people who held that wisdom. And now we're at the beginning and the end of that happening, and so we are receiving the effect of all of that, but we're also at the beginning of a whole new cycle of bringing back that which animates all life. And so one of my friends, Kaylin, used these terms, and I don't know if she coined them, but I heard her say this, so I'll attribute it to her, Kaylin Castell. She said, we are both midwifing a new earth and sitting hospice for a dying one, both. And we are holding that both, and we can't ignore one or the other. We can't pretend it isn't happening, but we also can't pretend that new ways of doing things are exploding. And this morning I was at Naropa, and my son was doing a presentation about his thesis with 9 other kids that each presented their thesis. And I was overwhelmed because these are the children that had all this Capricorn, Uranus, Neptune, Saturn, you know, Capricorn conjunction happen, and they were giving words to this and vision and, more than that, action around this in these very elaborate theses. And I was like, these kids are so fully equipped to step into midwife the new earth. And they are also the ones that are willing to feel the grief around what is dying. Mm. And they are acutely aware of it in a way that a lot of older people have not been able to do. And they're holding it with joy and celebration. I mean, they're grieving, they're angry, but they're also joyfully envisioning what's possible and what they're creating. And what I want to just say is that with Saturn at galactic center, while the sun is at galactic center, and then all these planets, it's enlivening these new creative projects, these seeds for the future that are, like, the image I get is of a dandelion that's been dried, and the wind comes and just blows all those seeds. All these things that have been deep in people's hearts, regenerative, collaborative ways of building community, being resilient, rebuilding what is falling apart, are going to be empowered. At the same time, we see forces in positions of power that are about as destructive as we've ever seen in our lifetime. Both are happening simultaneously and will continue. So if you only focus on what's dying and focus on that, you're going to just spiral down. But if you only focus on what's being born, you're not really going to be aware of what you even need to do. We have to hold both. And that's why I say I don't think our ego personality can do this alone. Like, we really need to be fully connected to our spirits. Because Carolyn Casey has a saying, and she says, when you don't know what to do, invite in what does. Right? And that's where we are. We have to keep inviting in the beloved, inviting in an empowered new human being that we don't know what it is, but we keep inviting. And these astrological energies are the birthing of that. Now, in the flyer that went out, so I can talk a little bit about the eclipse. I have a whole audio about it, so I'm not going to review what I said too much, except to say that during the eclipse this summer, a whole new level of love energy, heart energy, the heart of the lion, the part of our divine heart, started to come through. And a lot of people have felt very weird since then, like there's a lot of changes in their lives, but also a lot of energy pulsing in, a lot of energy that it's been difficult to articulate, even to formulate around it, because it's so massive and it's been a bit disruptive. And it's eclipsed our old selves, and it's bringing in the seeds of the new human, really. And with all of these planets in Capricorn, we're going to start being able to figure out what to do with it. And we're going to be able to start feeling like it's coming in, it's embodying and making more sense. We can form words around it in ways that have been difficult. And I know that since 2011, a lot of people have been feeling download after download after download after download without really understanding what to do with it. And it is one thing after another. You know, the eclipse was just one, but it was massive. And Saturn in Capricorn is helping to birth all of that into form in our lives so that it is practical, so that it is usable, so that it makes sense. And that's helpful. And Saturn can be challenging. It also shows us where the challenges are. It highlights them. It takes a little yellow highlight and goes, and here's where things aren't working. And here's where you have not been willing to see where things are not working in your life. Or where, you know, your personality is not showing up the way you really, you know, not in alignment with these light codes, baby. You know, so Saturn is this objective awareness of what is working in our life. And where we want to put more energy, and what is not working in our lives, and what we really need to change. And a magic wand does not come down from galactic center and make it happen for you. With Saturn and Capricorn, you need to step up, take responsibility, get the job done, and do what you need to do to take responsibility for your health, to take responsibility for your abundance, to take responsibility for your relationships, take responsibility for stepping up to participating in the great changes that are happening in whatever way for you is calling you. And that could be very, very personal, and it could be less, and it could be engaged with other people, stuff like that. So does that make sense?
Can you just remind me when this eclipse was?
It was in August. I think it was August 21st. And this was the eclipse that started on the West Coast. Fire eclipse on the West Coast that you could see across the United States. The next eclipse that we're going to see in our country like that is going to be in 2024. So a lot of people, astrologers, are saying between 2017 and 2024 we're in this really percolating cauldron. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know where we're going to end up. We only know that there's a great possibility for cataclysm and an equally great possibility for the human species to evolve in ways that are unimaginable to us. Just like it's, you know, in the 1960s, was the internet something you could imagine? Or that you would ever think would actually be here and change our world the way it changed our world? We are at the precipice of things changing so much that if 30 years from now when we look back, we're like, wow, we couldn't imagine that one. So sure, if you look at it in a linear way of where we are now and where we're headed, it ain't good. And what Saturn says, if you don't like where you're headed, change it. And so that's happening. And what's also interesting about this is that Saturn is moving into Capricorn in the underworld, meaning that Saturn is with the Sun. So Saturn is at 0 degrees Capricorn and the Sun is at 0 degrees Capricorn. And they're together, so you can't see Saturn, which means it's this, you know, this reckoning with the underworld, this reckoning of those deep places that need to be seen, that need to be lit up, that need to be integrated and felt. And Venus is in the underworld. Venus is in the underworld, so the feminine right now, and you can really see it on the world stage, is really going deep into places of violation, and really naming it and calling it out and feeling it. And Venus is in the underworld at the same time that Saturn is in the underworld. And Venus is going to be exactly with the Sun on January 9th. So these are kind of days to be ceremonial with. Obviously the solstice, then December 26th, Venus shifts into Capricorn, and then January 9th, Venus and the Sun are both at the exact place. They're the closest together they're going to be. The feminine is getting a blast of light from the creator of life itself. And so there's something about part of the birth of this new time is the birth of the feminine in men and women, and creating a new relationship to all that is female. Something else is happening, and I was trying to get the names for you. I was listening to someone else's podcast, and he was saying that there are these new planets that have been named after indigenous creator gods, and it's the first time. And one is named Maki Maki, and this is a creator god in Easter Island. And one is called, I don't know where it was, but I think it's Haumea. She is a creator god of Hawaii, creator goddess of Hawaii. She's Pele's mother. And they're both associated, with nature. And whenever a new planet is discovered, and then synchronicity happens and they're named, there's something about how they're named and how that affects our consciousness moving forward. And this guy, and I, in future podcasts, I will get his name, I will read his book, and I will acknowledge him, but he was saying that people who have Maki Maki in their charts are activists, like Bill McKibben, like John Muir, like Teddy Roosevelt, who, you know, really put a lot of our land into parks and stuff, had this. So Maki Maki is associated with activism for the earth and love of the earth and love of nature and wanting to restore and put into protection nature. So this is a planetary energy that's coming into human consciousness. And the other, the Hawaiian creator goddess, who's Pele's mother, goddess of creation, extremely abundant, creating new forms out of volcanic ash. All these new forms are created. And so in the 1970s, Chiron was discovered, and it was during that time that the holistic health movement was really birthed. And then through that time, it's just been explosions, explosions. So over the next 30 years after planets are discovered, those, you know, and moving forward, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, hundreds of years, those planets have huge influence on human consciousness. And so I find that very helpful. This happened around 2005, but the books about them are starting to come out now. So we're starting to gain, people are starting to do the research. Mm-hmm. And the research they do is they look in people's charts who have this really prominently placed, and they look at their biography, and they start to see patterns. And it's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. So I find that...
Are planets in the solar system?
They're beyond Pluto.
Okay.
They're outside of Pluto's orbit. But they are now able to be seen because of the telescope. We're able to see things that we couldn't see before. And so, any questions so far? Saturn, every time we talk about Saturn, it's like, boom, it's kind of heavy. Because Saturn is a planet that's kind of like heavy a little bit. It's dense. It's but it's bringing density into, it's bringing the spirit into form in a whole new way, including incredible innovations, but also including us collectively grappling with the crazy shitstorm we have created on this planet and having to make the changes. And possibly, you know, Donald Trump, his chart was really lined up with the eclipse, and he's been in a Saturn cycle. And what's really interesting is that when Saturn moves into Capricorn, it's going to be opposite his Venus for the first 9 months of 2018. His relationship to the feminine is going to be, and money, you know, challenged. A lot of times, you know, you can see that's already happening. Women are like, right, no, you know, I don't know what that will mean. We can't really predict what's going to happen. As you've heard me say, if you've ever heard me speak, when we are living at the beginning and the end of time, really, all of the shadow from the old time about human beings, forgetting that the earth is alive, and that everything has stood, and everything needs to be loved. That's why I gave you the exercise to do in the beginning with the earth, of just every day, just send her a love note. Mm-hmm. She'll send a love note back. Mm-hmm. And at solstice, look at the sun. Not with your eyes. At sunrise, at sunset, mm-hmm. at midday, just be aware of the sun is a galactic center. And just feel the light codes that are coming in and available and are grounding. It's about grounding new projects, taking responsibility and maturing. Saturn cycles are also associated with the snake shedding her skin. Mm. And so what I want to ask you is, what skins do you need to shed? What seeds that you planted in your garden do you need to pull out? Pull out those, and what seeds do you need to plant in your garden? This is a really important time of year to be thinking about this, but you can see the magic around it with all these planets, and I'll just say it again, the sun is crossing galactic center, Venus, Mercury, Saturn. Venus is in the underworld when she does it. She's got this potent, ferocious, the feminine energy is like, mop, baby! What are you doing to my baby? She's this fierce creator goddess that's like, this is my creation. I need to wake you guys up. So there's this awakening. And of course, in the last podcast, I talked more about the fierce feminine. And I don't want to go into it again. But the energy of the feminine that we're working with over this, over a 2-year period of time, is this very activist, protector goddess energy that's coming into manifestation through us, waking us up. And at the same time, we have these new planets that books are being written about, that are all about nature. So it's a really fertile time that we're in. But it's also a time that you're going to see this speeding up around people's awareness of climate change that haven't been aware, because they have to be made aware. I mean, Puerto Rico. You know, like, we're not fully aware of it because our media isn't reporting it, but an entire place has been wiped out. But at the same time, probably when they rebuild, it's going to be rebuilt in all kinds of really new and interesting, innovative ways. But it may not. I mean, there are also people saying, gee, I don't think I can live here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, there are probably more I meant to tell you about this time, but I think that's enough. Do you have any questions?
In the 1500s, when colonization was happening, Native people were being... What was happening in the skies again?
Okay, what was happening in the sky was that Saturn was in Capricorn.
Okay.
Pluto was in Capricorn. Uh-huh. And Jupiter was in Capricorn.
Uh-huh.
All together. If you read Cosmos and Psyche, he goes through history like back hundreds of years, and he looks at different astrological alignment and what was happening historically. And when Pluto and Saturn are together, it's very challenging times on planet Earth. Challenging. When you add Jupiter, Jupiter makes it all bigger. It's like a big mat. It's just a big planet that makes it all bigger. So in the 1500s, what's really interesting about that time is that Europe was colonized, and the indigenous cultures of Europe were wiped out, murdered. And then those people from a very wounded place came and colonized the rest of the world. And so through their own trauma and forgetting, they inflicted trauma on others. And now we're at a different point. It's like bookends. Now we're at a point where we are remembering and needing to bring back these ways of being in love with the earth and letting the earth be in love with us, and honoring all life as sacred, and bringing that back in a big way. And there are waves and waves and waves of this happening, and this is going to be coming stronger. So if you were alive during that time, amid a story that could be told as, imagine that you were a Native American warrior. And you couldn't believe that these crazy people were coming with these guns that were so gross that they didn't love the planet, the earth. They didn't respect. They didn't regenerate. They didn't give back. There was, you know, and they were, you know, you've heard the prophecies of what they're going to do, but you couldn't believe there'd be people this horrific. But you also knew that in terms of the prophecy, that there would be a time of returning back to those ways, that things would come around again to a beloved, to creating a beloved community in the world.
Do you see that the, I guess the planet's going to take that position again in Capricorn, that it will be a healing time and not maybe the exploration of Mars or this replication of what happened here on Capricorn?
I think we're going to, first of all, I don't think that we can know what will happen. We can, what we can know is that what I had said before is that both are likely to happen. That this exponential, like crazy, the effect of our actions over the past, since the 1500s, are really catching up with us. At the same time, we are turning to new ways. And at the same time, there's a lot of new, I mean, a lot of people don't like it when I say this, but there are going to be totally breakthrough technologies that shift things even more. And spiritually, we are having massive breakthroughs. And it doesn't have to be everyone in the world that has these breakthroughs, just enough so that it catches. You know, I mean, the wildfires in California started with one little thing. A lot of things catch fire in the world in a good way and spread from one person. That's actually what my son's thesis was about, is having like little pods of conscious groups in different places, but acting with one heart, but not necessarily even knowing about each other, and it's spreading and getting bigger, and that's what this is about. And at the same time, we see what's happening with dictators around the world. We see that expanding. And we don't know if they're going to be curtailed during this time or if it's going to get worse. We don't know. But we know that if we do nothing, it will get worse. And if there's... Anyway, so imagine that, you know, we're back... But you knew that, I actually had an experience when I was hiking on the Camino of this, where I had this, who knows what it was, but I felt myself back in those times, horrified about what was happening and grieving, and the elders bringing me and saying, but there will be a great turning back to these ways. You know, we have to hold faith. This is what, this needs to happen. This is what's happening. And I felt in my own being this no, this giant no. And then I felt myself as a human being now, transported back in time into this ceremony where they were saying, you are now living at the edge of this time and the effect of this time, and we are sending our love and our blessings to you. And you are sending your love and blessings to us. So my grief and around what had happened back then and the horror of it, I was sending my love to them. And they were sending their love to me and to this time and their blessings to help us move this to the most highest octave possible. And the highest octave possible is unimaginably good. But we don't know when that will happen or in our lifetime what it's going to look like. We know that we're seed people. We know we're the transition team. We know we came here with a purpose. And we came here knowing that we were going to have to transform from human to divine human, to just this expanded, to be able to do the consciousness meld where we can feel the blessing from the past and their compassion for us. They saw what was going to come. They knew. I mean, we're living in times that they were like, holy moly, that's really scary that they actually believe these things, or that they like completely disregard the mother. Like, and they're blessing us for remembering, and that all is happening. It's all happening at once. But the way to work with these cycles consciously is to animate what we want to see. What we want to see is we want to be the ones that are giving birth to the new ideas and the new projects and the new ways of being with people and all the love and all the community and the connections and the willingness to strip ourselves of what is not okay. We all have parts of ourselves that kind of suck. They aren't very nice, that are kind of petty, that are irritable. And it's not about fixing them into perfection, it's about loving them. Mm-hmm. Loving them back home, into our hearts. And that's what, you know, and loving each other when someone that we love or a friend or whoever is acting in ways that are like, oh my God. Well, it's about bringing our compassion in to the circle. And because it's a challenging time for everyone, and compassion needs to be sort of the currency that we want. So, what, how are y'all doing? Was that like a little too heavy?
No.
Okay. So, what I want to do is kind of have us leave feeling good. And,
I don't actually know that you'll be able to answer this, but
yeah.
If you, you know, saying that Saturn is the king of Earth and Capricorn is like the workhorse, how do you access?
Well, they're both the king, yeah.
How do you do this? You know, with this energy coming, how would we access it to get to that place where we've been doing all this spiritual work to bring it into something that...
What lights you up? What are you excited about? What projects have you wanted to involve yourself with? There are all kinds of little seed projects that are sprouting up all over the place. And these seed projects are going to get bigger during this time. These amazing permaculture and creative communities and young people getting involved with politics and new ways of healing and, you know, new ways of community, you name it. It's all going to be coming into form. It's about taking action in your own life, being a creator in your own life. And we're still going to be grieving. We're still going to be needing to work with our anger and our grief and not just say, oh, we still need, we're, the hospice and birthing center are happening. We're in both places at once. So what I want to do was tell you that one of my teachers, Sandra Engerman, had wrote a book called Medicine for the Earth. And one of the most amazing things that she did, she discovered that, you know, that little meditation that we began with? That is what she does. It's what many people do to bring more light into the body and into form. And she does it, and what she does is she puts polluted water in the center of the circle. And she has a strip, you know, and she says it's really, really acidic, and if you drink it, it's just poison. And then we do that meditation, and all we do is that meditation for a few minutes. We don't try and get the water to change. We don't intend anything. We just shine our light bright and feel it in the room. And then she goes back and she does the strip, and lo and behold, that water is no longer acidic, and you can drink it. The poison is not there. And what she is saying, that we can heal the earth this way, is that you can do this with the oceans. You can do this with it. This is practical magic. And this is the best example of all this Capricorn, all this birthing, all this innovative cosmic energy that's wanting to come into form and co-create a new world with us in a way that is amazing. And I don't want to pretend that it also means that other people are planting other seeds right now. And they don't share the same goals that we do. And you can use this energy however you want. It's just there. So we need to kind of get busy. So I'd like us again, we did this in the beginning. I'm going to turn on some music to help a little bit with this after I just guide you into this. So again, feel yourself sitting on the earth. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling some tingling in my hands and feet. Is anyone else feeling that?
Yes.
It's that soul force coming in and grounding that I've been using a lot of words, but really what's been happening is this energy is coming into our body, this energy that hasn't fully been here. You know, and the other thing I want to say is that when you look back to what's happened during some of these cycles, you can't really look to the past to see what the future is going to be, because we're co-creating something all the time new. So we can't really look to the past, and we can't really make predictions, because we're co-creating it now. So, again, just get in your bodies and breathe. Feel the tingling and the aliveness and that higher self cosmic energy. The Sabian symbol for the moon on the day of the solstice is a cosmic egg cracking open. And that is another symbol about this solstice. So breathe in from the top of your head this golden cosmic love light that you are. Breathe it right into your heart. And exhale it through your whole body. And feel the sparkles in your body. And let's do this 3 times. I'm going to turn the tape off now, and if you're at home, sit in this space for a few minutes and think about anyone in your life or anything in the world that needs this love, and just bring it into your awareness. Don't have to do anything, but your focus is on the light in your body that's radiating out like a beautiful golden star. And just be with this for a few minutes.